Acts 27. In my notes, this is my sixth message in this chapter. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said that I've been speaking for the last 4 weeks. They're like, oh, are you doing a series? I'm like, well, I'm going through a book. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not going through a book. I'm just going through a chapter. It's just amazing how much there is in the Word of God. And the more you dig into it, the more you find. And there's just so many precious things. Precious things that just can trigger. And when you dig something up here, it takes you over there. And you just take one verse upon another verse and you put it together and it looks so wonderful. I mean, I learned that truth from my brother Doug about putting the puzzle pieces together. And you got to do the labor. I think I shared this a long, long time ago, probably the first time I got up to speak. That I don't like puzzles. Even when I was in kindergarten, I shared this before. That every time we went into kindergarten, I had to, we had this manila envelope, and we had to, right in the beginning, go grab a puzzle. Go dump it out, and go put it together. And once you're done with it, you take it to the kindergarten teacher, and she gives you credit for it. Well, the wise deceivingness of my childlike self found out that if I just take the puzzle and I go on the corner and don't dump it out and just wait for a couple minutes and take it to the teacher, I get credit for it. I didn't do any of the work.
Yeah.
It lasted about 3 weeks until she got home. She was a good teacher. The rest of the year, I had to sit right next to her. So, do the work. Do the work. It is precious to put the Word of God together, to dig, to actually do the labor. I remember, you know, I was actually on, we went to a picnic yesterday on the street that I used to live on when I was in kindergarten. And it just brings back old memories. You know, old stomping ground. You just remember there's this climbing tree, still have the car initials in it. And I remember when I was much younger, we would watch reruns of Gilligan's Island as a child in the early 80s. And I'm sure many of you who are of the older generation watched it when it first came out in the 1960s. Right? It's funny how jingles and theme songs can get stuck into your head for years. Then something you hear or see triggers your mind and those memories start flooding back again. Even a tune and a lyric of a silly theme song. So I'm just going to share a couple. Just listen. Just listen. Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale. A tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. The minnow would be lost. The weather started getting rough. The ship was tossed. I like the last verse. So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from the seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Island. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this and remember the theme song, and I trust me, sharing these silly lyrics won't be a distraction to us getting into Acts 27. It's just each week as we join together and sit back and read this account and hear all that transpired on the ship, how they were tossed in the storm, their behaviors, experiences, their impending shipwreck, and they're going to be castaways. I think of this last lyric of Gilligan's Island. So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile. A smile. I smile, brothers and sisters. I absolutely smile as I read and I hear this account. Because as we dig deeper through this chapter, I realize how much I can relate to the 276 souls on the ship. I smile and chuckle at their experiences and behaviors because I feel like I've been through some of them. I've behaved like some of them. And I feel like others have behaved like that on the ship as well. You just got to smile when the Word of God, which is alive, comes alive right before your very eyes. Doesn't it just make you smile? It's alive. It comes alive. It just comes alive. Does it not make you smile to see the very Word of God speak to your very heart? Whether it hurts or it makes you smile, I don't know. If it hurts, what do you say? Huh? Give me another? Maybe not. Where's the encouragement, right? You know, His Word is so powerful that it can penetrate our hearts right into it and produce life and bring increase. That's just what His Word does. That's what His Spirit does. And you got to smile over it. Even if you get rebuked, even if you get exhorted, even if you get encouraged, when you get vision and direction from the Word of God, smile from it. Smile from it. I've asked a couple brothers if they would water the Word before we start, that God would bring the increase. So, Josh, will you begin and then Chad, you can finish.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that we are able to even come here and someone so wise and worthy, He loves us enough to go up with us and as silly people who think we have the answers and know what we should do and what's right, but Lord, it's not my will but yours be done. We can learn to decide what we think is right and pay attention to what you're telling us to do and where to go with our lives and how to live. That we can listen and grow closer to you, Lord. That's in your most precious name.
Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you for this another week that we can come and hear your word. I just pray that we do get convicted, but not only convicted, but we do something with that conviction. So thankful that we do have your word to listen to. And I also pray for Aaron to speak the word that you need him to speak. Let us hear what you have to say to us. In your holy and precious name.
Amen. Picking up right where we left off, Acts 27, verse 27. And we'll read to verse 34. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat, and they let her fall. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Very interesting things going on the ship, isn't there? Very interesting things. Previously, last week, you know, before the episodes all the time, TV, they'd say, previously on our last episode. Last week, we read that Paul rebuked, exhorted, encouraged, and gave direction and vision to these 276 souls on the ship. Rebuked them that they should have listened to him back at the Fair Havens. Exhorted and encouraged them twice to be of good cheer, right? Gave them direction that they must be cast upon a certain island. And then Paul ministered to them after Christ manifested himself to them. Now we have some very interesting issues of how they responded to what Paul said last week, don't we? We just read their response to his message. Just because they were rebuked and exhorted, encouraged, and given direction and vision doesn't mean that they were going to act upon it. Really. Paul exhorted them twice to be of good cheer. We don't see good cheer in these individuals yet, do we? What do we see in this passage so far? We see fear. Fear, once again, rears its ugly head and plays a part in making decisions on the ship. Even though they drew nearer and nearer to the very country that Paul said that they would, the fear being broken upon the rocks caused them to stop all progress. Fear caused them to strike sail earlier and cut short their opportunity to undergird the ship, didn't it? That's what fear caused them to do. Even earlier in the chapter, they moved forward when they should have stopped, and now they stop when they should move forward. That could be a running commentary for many Christians. Moving forward when you should just wait. Stop when you should go. Then they are still unstable on the ship and making decisions based upon their emotions, even though they heard the message from Paul. Even though they heard the message, they're still making decisions based on their emotions. So many interesting, timeless, precious truths going on the ship that I can relate to that makes me smile. It makes me smile. I'm sorry, it just does. You say, Aaron, why does this make you smile? It's really not a situation that should make you smile. They're in a perilous situation. Why is it making you smile? How insensitive of you to be of good cheer. Oh, wait, he did say be of good cheer, didn't he? It makes me smile when I read what's going on, when I see it unfold right before my very eyes. So let's dig deeper here for a while. As Christians sailing from earth to eternity, can you relate to all that we just read? Can you relate to it? They were rebuked, exhorted, encouraged, and given specific direction and vision. They heard Paul's message, but it didn't sink in. It didn't sink in. And it seems as if they didn't hear a word of it. I couldn't count how many times I heard a message. I was rebuked. I was exhorted. I was encouraged. I was given specific direction and vision. And yet I behave as if I heard none of it. As soon as I heard it, later on in the day, I behave as if I heard none of it. Because I didn't let it sink in. Can you relate to that? I mean, maybe just examine, go a little bit deeper into your own soul, your own heart. Examine yourself. Can you relate to that reality that you could be exhorted, encouraged, rebuked, and you don't let it sink in? We see here, they were even encouraged twice to be of good cheer, and it didn't affect them, did it? Encouragement really didn't work here. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It didn't work. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. How many times? Twice, brothers and sisters. Twice. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. When in one ear and right out the other. One ear and right out the other. So, they drew near to the very place that they were told, but it says in verses 28, right? When they had gone a little further, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Well, they did go a little further. I don't know if they sailed a little further because they're still being tossed to and fro. I think the hand of God is certainly moving them towards that country. But when they had gone a little further, then their fear got a hold of them. You know, as we sail, brothers and sisters, fear can be a huge factor that hinders our spiritual progress. A huge factor. We can go a little further, and then fear can cause us to stop pressing forward. It causes us to stop pressing forward to the prize. It just does. Fear can paralyze Christians. It paralyzes them. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." When there's a spirit of fear in a Christian, there's instability. There's instability. Lack of power, lack of love. There's a lack of sound thinking as well. It causes you to be spiritually unstable, and you can make decisions that not only hinder your spiritual progress, but just like in 2 Peter, in the last chapter, those individual Christians that are unstable can twist the scriptures. You know that passage? Where those who are unstable can twist the scriptures and fall from their own steadfastness. They don't move forward anymore. Christians can do that. What's it mean to twist the scriptures? Anybody know? Twisting the scriptures. Well, one way to twist the scriptures is to misuse the word of God by trying to justify your attitude and your behaviors and the decisions that you make, and you use the word for your own agenda. That's how you can twist the scriptures. Instead of reading the scriptures, making decisions based on his word, and his word changes your attitude and behaviors, and it changes your agenda to his agenda. There's a big difference there. It almost sounds kind of alike, but it's really not, because all you have to do with the scriptures is just twist it just ever so slightly, and you get off track. Do you remember that in the very beginning, when the individuals wanted to move forward and they didn't want to wait? All they wanted to do is go up the coast just a little bit. When Paul told them to wait and to stay there, all they wanted to do is go 40 more miles to a better, more comfortable place. What'd they do? They erred from the truth, and it got them off track. When you twist the scriptures, you lose your own steadfastness. You become unstable. And there's a big difference. Fear is a very strong emotion that has led many well-meaning Christians, well-meaning unstable Christians, to simply stop progressing spiritually and fall from their own steadfastness, having misused the scriptures to try to justify their lack of progression. I know this is a little deeper stuff. These are timeless truths. They have, spiritually speaking, cast out the anchors. Isn't that what they did? They cast out the anchors. And they feel perfectly justified in their decision because they have the scriptures. Wait, listen. They have the scriptures that they hold on to, and those scriptures that they have twisted and misused them as anchors to justify their lack of progression. Because they're afraid to move forward. I know you don't, I mean, think about it for a second. Have I ever twisted the scriptures? I mean, really, self-examination. Have I ever used the word misused it in a way that has caused me to fall from my own steadfastness. While I'm traveling from earth to eternity and going through some tribulations, going through some storms, and I'm unstable, and I allow my emotions to take control. Has there been scriptures that I've held on to, but you know what? I misused them to a point. I misused them to a point where I'm not moving forward anymore. I've fallen from my own steadfastness. I know it's kind of hard to believe. Some people don't want to believe that Christians that gather in assemblies, we don't want to believe that believers can twist scriptures. But you know what the reality is? It happens. People can do it. We read last week in Philippians 3, verse 13. Brother Brian shared that this morning at Breaking of Bread. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto that which is before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are called as Christians to press toward, to move forward, to actually have some progress in our spiritual life, to have progress. That's what we're called to do. Let me ask you, do you have any anchors in your life? Have you cast out any anchors to stop your progress? Have you fallen from your own steadfastness? Is there a spirit of fear hindering you from actually moving forward? Moving forward spiritually. Growing in grace and knowledge of Christ. Now, not only did they stop moving forward because of fear here, then we see that they were so afraid that the experienced sailors, who had no doubt been through their fair share of storms, right, and confronted with this perilous situation, we see here in the passage that they kind of have this fight or flight response going on here. You see it? And they attempt to secretly flee out of the ship by pretending to let out the anchors, but they're letting down the lifeboat to escape. They're going into survival mode, having a secret agenda, forsaking their responsibilities, and desiring to save themselves. I imagine that they think their odds of survival are better if they break away from this crew and move forward in a small lifeboat alone. Seems a bit selfish, don't you think? To abandon ship and abandon the rest of the people on board to fend for themselves. That's a little selfish. That's an absolutely selfish, cowardly decision. Fear, brothers and sisters, can cause Christians to make selfish decisions. Experienced Christians confronted with the fight or flight response, either they are going to fight, press on, move forward, fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold onto Christ, or having the spirit of fear, pretending to be a part of the work. That's what they were doing. When these shipmen were in the boat, they were pretending. They're going to the front of the boat. They looked like they were casting out the anchors. But what they were doing, they were casting out the ship to escape their own responsibilities. They're escaping them. Secretly forsaking their responsibilities. Can you relate to this? You got to dig a little deeper. You got to really get the shovel. Can you relate? Brothers and sisters, in the past 21 years that I've attended GGC, I've seen this passage come alive before my very eyes. I smile at it, but I also kind of frown at it. I've seen it both figuratively and literally. Figuratively with individuals, including myself when I was younger, fearing to move forward with Christ, throwing out specific anchors. Well, I got a verse that tells me that I don't have to move forward. What do you mean I have a verse that tells me I don't have to move forward with Christ? Oh, Christ is never going to leave me or forsake me. So why do I need to put any effort into it? Why? There's my anchor. I'm saved. I'm satisfied. What about that Hebrews 11 verse where it says, he's a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. You see how you can use scripture very easily? You can twist it and fall from your own steadfastness. I've seen it. Individuals, including myself, do that. Twisting the scriptures to justify selfish behaviors. Pretending to be a part of the work, yet having no power, and forsaking spiritual responsibilities. Spiritual responsibilities. Wait, if you gather here, you have a spiritual responsibility? Wait a minute. Once I came through this door and I'm a part of this body, you have a spiritual responsibility? Yeah. Spiritual responsibilities. And I've seen Christians who have literally abandoned ship and crew. Literally. Because they think their chance of survival is better somewhere else. And they have made a decision. And you just toss to and fro to the next ship, to the next ship, to the next ship. I've seen it come alive before my very eyes. And I smile because it gives me the light to see it. But my heart sometimes breaks when I observe it. How can this emotion, this spirit of fear, cause so many problems on a ship? I suppose maybe if you were in that perilous situation, you wouldn't really know how you would act. What if the sea is just tossed and throwing you over and tossing you and surging you up? And maybe at that moment, you would respond the very same way. I'm jumping ship. This ship's going down. I don't want my hand on the helm when the ship is going down. I'm jumping out of here. Forget my responsibilities. There's no hope here. Isn't that what they had before? All hope that they would be recovered was lost. Yet Paul spoke very clearly, be of good cheer. Oh no, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Nope, let's cast out the anchors. Cast them out. We're not moving forward. Actually, this is what's hindering them from moving forward. This is why they threw the anchors, causing them to secretly have hidden agendas and forsake and try to escape the responsibilities. Because they're afraid to fall on the rocks. You know, it's really only a small part of the passage, but it sheds a whole bright light on the whole situation, doesn't it? They're afraid to be broken. And not only that, they were afraid to lose their life. That's what hindered them? That they're afraid to be broken? And that they're afraid to lose their life? They're throwing out anchors because they're afraid to die? Really? That's what? Well, I would probably do the same thing if I was in the ship. But come on, brothers and sisters, we're digging deeper here, right? We're not really in the ship. We would do the same thing. But as we dig deeper and spiritually parallel what's going on in the ship with how we're traveling from earth to eternity, let's dig deeper. Let's go in. Let's take that shovel and jump right down into it, pick it up, move it, and find that precious truth. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Let me give you a brethren saying, very familiar verse. Very familiar verse. Verse 23 and 24. And he said to all of them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life brothers and sisters, sailing from earth to eternity, we are confronted by Christ with this perilous situation on a daily basis. This is a daily basis thing. Did you know that? This is a perilous situation. What do you mean it's a perilous situation? Every day that you get up, in order for you to move forward with Him, we are given clear instructions, clear vision. To take up our cross and to die to ourselves daily. And to press on to Him. Every single day, here's a perilous situation for you, for you, for you, for you over there. You're supposed to die to yourself. You are. No. Let me grab this twisted, awesome verse. Right? That's so super sharp, but I'm going to twist it right into an anchor, throw it out, and I'm not moving forward because I have that verse that tells me I don't have to move forward because you twisted it and you're unstable and you lost your steadfastness. Oh, yes, brothers and sisters, we are confronted with a perilous situation every single day of our life. If we're going to fall. Jesus Christ, you need to die to yourself. Are you afraid to be broken? Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. In order to make spiritual progress and press on to the prize, there is a need to be broken and to lose your life for Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about practicing principles here in daily or weekly come to chapel. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about specifically dying to yourself in the midst of the tribulation of life and living for Jesus Christ. Period. You need to be broken. You need to lose your life. There's a need to die to our selfish behaviors, attitudes, and agendas. His will, not ours. Isn't that what our young brother just prayed? His will, not ours. Oh, this is a precious, perilous truth, isn't it? This is a precious, perilous truth. Now, let me ask you that wonderful question. Is it essential or is it non-essential? It shouldn't be a hard one to answer, whether it's essential or non-essential for you. Is it essential or non-essential? I don't know. Examine your fight or flight response for a second. Examine your fight or flight response. Do you take courage, fight the good fight of faith every day, move forward, being broken and die yourself? Your response for a fight or flight is right here, right now. There's a perilous situation. You are going to die. You are called to die. You're called to be broken. What's your fight or flight? Or you fly, right? You flee. You cast out the anchors. You're afraid of being broken. And you forsake your spiritual responsibility to die to yourself. That's the reality. We all, as Christians, have a spiritual responsibility to die to ourselves every single day to move forward. I know we're digging deeper here, but isn't it so precious to uncover these truths? Isn't it so precious? So they're attempting to flee, right? They're attempting to get out of their responsibilities. They're attempting to. Secretly. Secretly. They have a hidden agenda. They look like they're doing some work, but they're really not doing the work that they should be doing. So then Paul communicates to the soldiers, right? He convinces the centurion and the soldiers that it is essential. It is essential that these remain on the ship. They're about to flee. They're forsaking their responsibilities. And then the soldiers do what? They cut off the ropes of the boat. And they let her fall off. Their opportunity to flee and escape was removed from them. Just love that. Just remove the whole opportunity. I wonder if they used a dagger or a dull sword to cut the ropes. I'm not sure. I don't just think of these things sometimes. Did they pull out their sword? Cut the rope? May I this morning, brothers and sisters, cut off the ropes. May I just cut off the ropes, as it were, and say to you, it is essential for you to be broken and lose your life in order to move forward, to have spiritual progress with Jesus Christ. It's essential. Cutting off the ropes. There's no other way to move forward with Jesus Christ except for you to be broken and for you to die to yourself. To your agendas, to your behaviors, to your attitudes, to what you think you know. It's essential that you stay in the ship and you move forward the right way. There's no other way. Paul goes on, right? We read it. And he begs him in verse 33 and 34. Take some meat. Do you see it? He begs him, take some meat. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat. This is for your health. This is for your health. For the last 14 days, they weren't eating. They were tossed to and fro. They were seasick. They were unhealthy. It's not that they didn't have the meat to eat. They didn't have the appetite. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, do you ever lose the appetite for the Word of God? Have you ever lost your appetite for the Word of God? Every day, is there a steadfastness for you to pick up the Word and consume it? Here, Paul is telling them, eat some meat. It's for your health. These are essential truths that we're looking at in this chapter. This is the meat of God's word. As we dig, as we uncover it, these things that we are looking at, it's the meat of God's word. When you chew on these truths and consume them and apply them into your life, they make you spiritually healthy. They make you spiritually healthy. Wherefore, I'm begging you, take some meat. Eat it. Consume it. Digest it. Apply it to your life. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no doubt drawing nearer to the day that you'll be in the heavenly country, aren't you? Aren't you just so glad that the Lord Jesus saves sinners and he's so patient with people, with his own people that are traveling from earth to eternity, who often throw out the anchors and hinder their own progress and are led by their emotions? Aren't you just so thankful that you're on your way to glory? That you're saved? Aren't you so thankful? You know, we can make spiritual progress now. As we travel from earth to eternity, we can make spiritual progress now. I'm going to leave you with one more truth that I found very precious out of Acts 27. And it's the end of verse 27 and the beginning of verse 28. The shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. You know, we sing songs like 315 in the Black Book. You know the song, right? I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer, drawn unto thee. There are depths of love. What is that? Come on, help me out. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer. We sing those songs. Do we mean those songs? Or how about 177 in the Black Book? Savior, we remember thee. Savior, we remember thee, thy deep woe and agony, all thy suffering on the tree. Savior, we adore thee. Calvary, O Calvary, mercies vast, unfathomed sea, love eternal, love to me. Savior, we adore thee. Brothers and sisters, as we're traveling and drawing nearer to that country, do you see the sweetness of this? Can you just dig a little deeper? Then you have these individuals measuring the depths of how close, as they're getting nearer and nearer to that country. Measuring the depths. Do you think it's getting shallower? Yeah, right here it is. But you know what, brothers and sisters, as we draw nearer to that heavenly country, do you think the depths are getting shallower? Do you think the depths of God's great and matchless love is getting shallower? No. No. Are you measuring it? Are you specifically measuring the depths of his love? Oh, well, you know what? There's no way to measure it. It's unfathomable. Isn't that what we just... It's unfathomable. Right? Speaking in tongues, watch out. As we draw nearer and nearer to that country, we should be measuring the depths of his love. What I understand is that the way that they would measure it, they would throw out a weighted line, and that there would be marks on it per fathom. And a fathom is a unit of measure, right? Do you know what the unit of measure of a fathom is? From fingertip to fingertip. When's the last time you just fathomed the depths of his cross? And then not only fathomed it, sounded out the depths of it. You sounded out. You move forward. You go deeper. You progress. You don't stop. You drop the line and you go deeper. You are confronted with a perilous, precious truth every single day of your life. And I guarantee you that there are multitudes of Christians who are on their way to glory who have not gotten very far. Because they're afraid to be broken. because they're afraid to measure the depths of how great his love is. They pretend they're doing some work. But they're not measuring the depths. They're not sounding forth. That is a precious truth. Christ loves us, brothers and sisters. He wants us to draw near to him more than we want to draw near to him. Did you know that? He's more willing to pull you and draw you with his loving kindness, and we're just thrown out our anchors, thrown out our verses that we twisted. You'll never leave me or forsake me, Lord, but I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to break. In order for us to move forward here at GGC, brothers and sisters, I'm cutting the ropes. We need to die to ourselves and live for him. Enough with our agendas. Enough with our attitudes. Enough with our carnal behaviors. You want to move forward. You want to progress. You die. And we move forward with the power that Christ can give us. That's just our God, isn't it? Ask Brother John Jr. if he would pray.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. And being convicted, or rebuked, and exhorted, Lord, help us to be encouraged by that. It's a good thing. And we need it. We've heard things we need to really take to heart today. Thank you for how deep your word is and how it reaches us. Lord, as we move forward and progress toward your vision and your working in our lives, we just thank you that this world is not our home. We're only passing through. And that it helps us to realize that for me to live is Christ, but not just die physically is gain, but even die spiritually here, not spiritually in the negative way, but die to self is gain. Help us to take that in, Lord. When we can let go of those little anchors and realize that we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock that shall not move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Help us to go forward today, knowing that all of this is true and we need it. And we need you, Lord, and your spirit to make it possible. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.